So we just talked about fun times on vacation with Margaret, and but we would like to talk about some. Now we can look back and laugh. At the time, it was probably the worst, you know, trip you've ever had. But we want to talk a little bit about vacation horror stories. If you have any, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. You have a little fun with them. Esmeralda, do you have any vacation horror stories besides having to pay off a cop in Mexico the last time you were there?
Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. There's just been a couple times, the first times I've ever actually burnt in the sun.
Oh.
And I've peeled, and I didn't know what it was.
Didn't know what it was?
Well, because here I don't peel. And
oh.
I was out in the sun all day in Mexico, and I remember being in the shower and just rubbing my face, and just stuff was coming up, and
oh.
I'm like, what's happening? Why is my face falling off?
Did you have to stay indoors then?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I had to put salves on.
Yeah.
I was, it was a typical burn,
yeah.
Sunburn, but I was just like real confused.
And it happened, I would assume it happened early on in your vacation?
It did. Well, this was, we were visiting family, so we stayed there for a month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And in that month, yeah, that happened. And then I also ate a bad burrito.
Oh, no.
At one point, yeah, and I got really sick.
Oh, no.
To the point where I had to go to the doctor.
Really?
I needed antibiotics.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now,
it's real fun.
Do you avoid the water when you go to Mexico?
No.
No?
Oh, the drinking water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, nobody drinks it. Not even the people in Mexico drink it.
Right. Yeah. You know, my old producer that I worked with, Craig Collins, he went to Mexico and everybody was like, make sure you don't drink the water. First thing he did, he drank the water when he was in Mexico and he was sick for 4 days.
Why would you?
Because
like, where is he? What is he drinking out of the tap?
I don't know. He drank water in Mexico and he got sick.
He's a moron.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like people from there, like everybody has, you know, bottled water, filters, like everybody has
right.
the means.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation
the
was.
Most
I just
part.
Know that, you know, when he got back from Mexico, I was like, did you have a good time? He's like, well, I was sick for like 4 or 5 days. I go, why? Because I drank the water. And I'm like, you're not supposed to. That's the first thing people tell you about Mexico. On the top of the list is if you go to Mexico, don't drink the water. Dave Matthews has a song called Don't Drink the Water.
He has not heard that song, I'm
no.
assuming.
No, it's actually, that song's not about Mexico, though. But
oh, no.
No, it's not. So, now, Dan, have you ever had any vacation stories that were not pleasant?
Nothing too bad, but a story we look fondly back upon. So every year we try to organize like a weekend away with my best friends from high school. And now we have wised up to the game and we're more proactive and going through proper channels. But the first time we tried to do it on the fly, and we tried to go to Lake Geneva, and the girls booked it. And as I was looking over the itinerary, because I did not have anything to do with it, I noticed that the website or the email address contact for this place was at gmail.com as opposed to like at hilton.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's probably not a good sign. And it wasn't, because it was like a 15 room little place. And
did you guys end up staying at the Broad Stop?
No, I think that would have been better. In my friend Adrian Hayes' rooms, the welcoming basket with the chips and or with the chips, the cheese and the crackers and the sausage was moldy.
Oh,
We actually came out unscathed. Everything was pretty clean in our room, and we didn't have anything weird. But the only room left for my friends Bill and his wife Sam was the Indigo room. The Indigo room came special with speakers built around the bed, so you could plug in your iPod and listen to music and apparently just rock out and listen to music while sleeping or
yeah.
not sleeping. There was at one point a frog that came into the bathroom. But the coup de grace was a unicorn print that was hanging over the fireplace.
I really hope you got pictures.
We did get pictures.
Yeah.
But what was weird was that like the frame was kind of off center. So a bit of the cardboard was hanging outside of the frame.
Yeah.
which bothered us. So we're like, well, we'll just fix it. So we stood on a chair and grabbed it. And they had placed a box, that like the 24 can box of Miller Lite.
Like the tray?
Well, just like
the actual box. Okay.
To fit, the print was so skinny that it didn't fit the frame.
Oh, they had to jam that back in.
So they jammed that in there to fill the frame. So we kind of fixed it the best we could, and then we did it.
Wow.
So, as I said, we are much more planning-oriented now, but
yeah.
That was the... We were just kind of doing that, and so we kind of had fun with it, and it was fine, as I said. But what was great, there was a wedding in town, and obviously this woman walked in with a Louis Vuitton bag, and we're like, what is the over-under on her storming out of this
place?
Oh,
yeah.
And, like, it lasted about 45 minutes. She came out in a wedding dress, so she was obviously there for the wedding, but she was not happy, we could tell. So
wow.
That was our crazy
All right.
Lake Geneva experience.
Lake Geneva. Yeah. 312-981-7200 if you've ever had any vacation horror stories. I haven't had really any sort of vacation horror stories. My ex-wife and I almost got caught when the Icelandic volcano was happening. We went to Ireland right between the times that it caused the air travel to shut down. And it was active, like, right before we left for Ireland. We got to Ireland. It got active again. And it stopped. And then, like, the day before we were going to leave, they said it was going to get active again, and we would have been stuck in Dublin, which is not a terrible place to be stuck. So that wouldn't have been a nightmare. We would have run out of money. So, but we didn't. And I'm not a good flyer. I went to New York with my ex-girlfriend back in the 2001, early 2001. This is like February or January of 2001. And we went out to New York. We went to Manhattan. We saw a couple of Broadway shows. You do the stuff that you do when you go to New York. And she had a little more vacation time, so my ex went upstate to meet her brother so that they could go snowboarding and stuff, and I flew home. I was scheduled to fly home alone. And as I said, I'm not a good flyer at all. In fact, I'm terrified of flying. And I was never like that when I was younger. I was never afraid of flying when I was younger. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened, but now I'm terrified of flying. So anyway, I have to fly by myself. So I get to the airport, and it's LaGuardia. I get to the airport, and I immediately go to the airport bar, and I start drinking because that was the only way that I could fly, was if I got drunk. I wouldn't be terrified. So I start drinking. They call us. We board the plane. And I'm sitting there, and I immediately close the window. I got a window seat, but I close the blind because I don't want to look outside and see that. I don't want to see anything outside the window. I don't want to see little people. I don't want to see little mountains. I don't want to see clouds. I want the thing closed and just to pretend that I'm not, 30,000 feet in the air. So, like most people who are afraid of flying, most people like myself, I think this is the truth. I'm most terrified during the takeoff and the landing. Those are the two parts that I hate the most. I hate when we're in the air and like if we hit turbulence, that's terrifying. But the takeoff and the landing is the thing that really makes me white knuckle it. So we take off and I'm terrified during the takeoff. I'm holding onto the side of the seats and I'm just, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And my ears are popping like crazy, which is a normal thing. And we get up to what it seems like we're about to hit cruising level. And I think the worst is over. And then all of a sudden, this is the announcement that comes over the speaker. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. There's a problem with the plane. That's what he says. There's a problem with the plane. So I completely start freaking out. And he's like, we can't pressurize the cabin correctly, so we're going to have to circle around and land back at LaGuardia and look at the plane and fix it. So now I'm thinking, okay, first of all, I just white-knuckled it through a takeoff. Second of all, I'm going to have to now immediately white knuckle it through a landing again. And there's a possibility that they pressurize the cabin. So I'm picturing scanners. I'm picturing a plane full of people's heads exploding because of the no pressurized cabin. So we turn around and we land, and I'm like white knuckled again. We all get off. We all deplane, and we're all there. And and so they go on the plane. We're there for like 45 minutes. They go, okay, everybody get back on the plane. And I was like, I'm not getting back on this plane. You get me a new one. Are you kidding me? I'm not getting back on this plane. And then all the luggage and everything was on there. So it's like, all right. So we get back on the plane. And now we're going to take off again. And now I'm absolutely mortified. I'm completely mortified. And on top of that, my friend Scott Oaken was supposed to pick me up from the airport at Midway. And now I'm like, he was there just sitting around. I didn't have a cell phone then. And that he was probably just at Midway just sitting there going, where is this idiot? So anyway, I get back on the plane and we take off again, and now I'm completely freaked out. We get all the way up to cruising distance. You know, we get up and he's like, "And the ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. Everything is fine with the plane. The cabin is pressurized. We should be arriving in Chicago in about an hour and 44 minutes. And because of the problem and the inconvenience, the bar is open and it's an open bar." And those were the best words I heard on the plane. I was like, oh, all right. So I immediately got a bunch of vodka and a bunch of tomato juice. And by the time we were approaching Chicago, I had the window flap up. I was looking out the window and I was going, so I landed. Nobody was there and I had to take a cab. And I thought, you know, it was like 1:30 in the morning and I got back and I ended up, it was a little earlier than that because I ended up going to Simon's right straight from the airport with my luggage. Just went right to Simon's. I was terrified and so happy to be back on the ground. So, but that's not a nightmare thing. That's just my irrational fear of flying. And it was, what's really funny, Esmeralda, is that like, I think I was the only one on the plane that was scared. Everybody else was pissed because they were inconvenienced. Because people who fly, I was obviously in a plane full of people who fly and travel all the time. And don't worry about the fact that the plane might explode or anything like that. It was just, I was on a plane full of people like, do you realize I have a meeting? You know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, I don't care about that. I'll be late as long as my brains don't fly out of my head because of no pressurized cabin. I know, I realize that's not how it works, but that's what I thought of. I just pictured, you know, like 87 people on the plane's heads exploding at the same time. Just all over the plane. So, all right, we've got some examples of vacation horror stories here that I'm going to read, and you guys are calling in with yours. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll get to the phones and the texts and the stories right after this. Yeah, man. Welcome back, everybody. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday, yeah. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Canadian Bill sends in that. Headpins with Don't It Make You Feel. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. Hi, everyone. It's Nick DiGilio here. And Skip Skipley's on the way with the jet, and we'll have another exciting edition of Pop-Up Video. A little bit earlier than we normally do it. It'll be at about 4:15 we'll do that. And we got a Blackhawks Express coming up as well. And we want to hear from you. Talk or text 312-981-7200 with your vacation nightmare stories, your vacation horror stories. We got a bunch here that I'm going to read from that we found online. And we got a bunch of people who are calling in. You can send your texts as well. And here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Nick. How you doing tonight?
All right.
Fantastic vacation. Went to Cancun. Had a great time in that. Get on the plane to go back home. Get up in the air. Seatbelt sign goes off. About 30 people jumped up and ran to the bathroom in the front of the plane and the back of the plane. And for the next 3 hours, that plane smelled like an outhouse.
Oh, man. Well, you were coming from Cancun, man. That's
That's it. Don't eat the ice cubes either.
Don't eat the ice cubes either. Okay. Yeah.
That's my horror story.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming back from Cancun, Esmeralda. Yeah, waiting in that line for the small lavatory to funk it up. Oh, boy. Let's see. Here is Andrew, who's in Alabama on WGN. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Mick. Hey. Real quick. I'm like you. I used to love to fly. Now I am terrified of it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened, but yeah.
I just look at my shoes the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this story is about going on a cruise, a seven-day cruise, leaving out of Fort Lauderdale. And the very first night out, we have to cross paths with a hurricane.
Oh, no.
And as soon as we left the port area, you could tell that he was full throttle trying to outrun and get around this thing. And, I mean, we were just hauling butt across the ocean, and he didn't get past it. And that night was just... You could feel the bow going up, 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 and then the wave would crash over, and you feel like somebody hit a wall.
Oh, man.
And then you'd go down the other side. And at one point, I got up around 2 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. I mean, you were literally rolling
bed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I went out and went to go get a smoke, and my brother was out there. And we started going all over this ship. And we were looking at another ship about 1,000 yards away, lit up, you know, like a cruise ship. And I remember, imagine you're at home plate at Wrigley Field looking at the flags up on top of the scoreboard.
Right.
And that's how high up that ship was up on top of a wave, and we were down in a trough.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, I just said you just have to grin and bear it, and you know this. I love doing things like whitewater and canoeing and all of that. So this was just like, yeehaw! You know, if we don't die.
Now, how long did this last, Andrew? How long were you guys in the hurricane or?
Around daybreak, the waves went from 45 feet maximum down to about 20. And at breakfast, there was only about 25 people that showed up, the whole breakfast serving. And talking to a couple of people working on the boat, they're like, everybody's down in sick bay. We've been busy all night taking care of people.
Yeah, I bet.
And, oh, yeah, they had the crew and the staff had a horrible night. But it took probably until 3 o'clock the next afternoon before we got into waters that were decent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
terrifying. By then, you were so used to it, you know?
Yeah.
And when we got on board the ship, you go through like the customs thing, and then you pop through a little gangway and go through a hole in the ship. And I never did see the whole size of the ship when we got on board.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of look at it from one end to the other when you're in parts of the ship. But when we got off that first night in San Juan, and we're about, like 1,000 yards out or 500 yards out in front of it. I turned around and looked at it. I was like, that thing is massive. But it felt like we had been on a cork or a bobber or a raft.
Right.
That's how bad that
is.
I loved it. Like I said, everybody else in my family, they were just like, they couldn't handle it. Yeah. But
All right, Andrew, glad you're safe and sound.
All right, you be safe. Get in the news.
Take care.
For news.
All right,
bye-bye.
See you later. That sounds like a complete nightmare to me. Oh, my God. Sounds horrific. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up right after this.
We've got a gorilla for sale. Try kill a gorilla for sale. Won't you buy him? Take him home and try him. Gorilla for sale. See in the window, try kill a gorilla. Full of charm and appeal. Elegant,
yeah.
Intelligent, sweet. He's really ideal.
Either of you guys, Esmeralda, Dan, do you guys remember Megilla Gorilla?
No.
No.
That was of my era. Megilla Gorilla, that's Dino's for Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? 312-981-7200. Dino picked Megilla Gorilla TV show theme, and Megilla Gorilla was this TV show. I was on Channel 32 in the 70s, and it was from Hanna-Barbera animation. And they had a bunch of different cartoons that they would show. It was the Megilla Gorilla Show, but there were other characters and cartoons that they would show. So it's kind of like when you watch Looney Tunes and you'd see like a Daffy Duck short and then a Bugs Bunny short. Well, they had like Yippee, Yappy, and Yahooey. They were the three Mouseketeers because they were mice, if I remember correctly. Yippee, Yappy, and Yahooey. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. But and there were some other ones too that I can't remember right now. But it was like a variety cartoon show. But the main guy was Megilla Gorilla, and he lived in a pet store, and he was for sale in the window. Because you know you can there's so many places where you can buy a gorilla in a pet store. This was a big morning for pet stores because there's a lot of pet store stuff in Rocky. Because Adrian works in a pet store. Talia Shire works in a pet store. Hey, here's an interesting story. Esmeralda, you know, Sylvester Stallone wrote Rocky. And he wrote the script, and he was shopping around. And United Artists offered him $350,000 for the script. And he said, yeah, but I have to be in it. I have to play the lead. And at this time, nobody knew who Sylvester Stallone was. He was just this goofball who was in a couple of B movies, and he was making demands on like United Artists, saying, "No, I want to be in the movie. You can't have my script if I'm not in the movie." So he turned down $350,000 because they weren't going to give him the role, the lead. And at that time, he had $106 in the bank. He was barely paying his rent. He had to get rid of his dog Butkus. Because he couldn't afford to feed him, so he had to sell him, and he sold him for $50. And Butkus, by the way, is in Rocky. He plays Rocky's dog in the movie, and that was his real dog. So he sold the dog, and then finally, after a bunch of negotiations, United Artists said, okay, he can play the lead, because they wanted somebody popular. They wanted someone who would, you know, bring butts to seats. He can play the lead, but we're cutting the budget in half. So what started out as a $2 million budget got cut down to $1 million. But Stallone got the lead. And then when he got the money for the script, he wanted his dog back. So the person or the people that he sold him to, so he sold the dog for $50. He got $50 for the dog. How much do you think he had to pay to get the Butkus back?
I'm going to say $150.
$3,000 they charged him.
They're monsters.
I mean, seriously. And he paid it because he wanted his dog back. You know, he finally got the check. He wanted his dog back. He, you know, $50 is what they bought the dog for, and then they sold it back to Stallone for $3,000. That, by the way, that got boos from the audience when I told that last night. People were not happy when I told that story. But it worked out okay for Stallone because he became a multimillionaire and a movie star. But still, that's a really, I mean, what kind of move is that? Yeah, you can have your dog back. $3,000. Look, are you kidding me? So, one of the many crazy stories. But yeah, it just reminded me because Megilla Gorilla is sitting in a pet shop window, and that's what, there was a lot of pet shop window stuff in Rocky. So, all right. We're talking about vacation horror stories. I have a quick one here that I'm going to read, and then we'll get back to the phones, and we got some texts coming in as well. If you've got one, 312-981-7200. How about this? On a family vacation to Disneyland, my brother and I ordered milk for breakfast before heading out for the day. We took two sips and then stopped because it tasted weird. My mom didn't believe us and made us drink of all of it because it was $6 a glass. On the drive to Disneyland, I started to feel really ill, but my parents thought I was just car sick and gave me a sick bag. I threw up everywhere, and then my brother did. When we got back to our car in the evening, my brother slid into the back seat and landed in a pile of vomit. Turns out it didn't all go into the bag. My rotten milk puke baked in the sun in the car for 8 hours. Thank God it was a rental because it smelled like vomit when we returned it 7 days later. Can't trust a $6 glass of milk. Trust, you know, coming from Captain Milk here. Something's going to be off. Something's going to be wrong if you pay $6 for a glass of milk. You know, you can get a gallon of milk for like $2.99. So $6 for a glass of milk, not good. That detail, though, about, we were at Disneyland for 8 hours and the sun was beating down on the car. That's disgusting. What did they get charged? They had to get charged, though, right? The car rental place had to charge them, right? You bring the car back with puke in it?
I don't know how they dealt with it for 8 days.
Yeah. Phew. All right. It's funny how some of these stories, I'm looking at a few of these other ones. We've already had one about, but so many of them involve bodily functions. I'm just looking at some of these stories. We already had one guy on a trip coming back from Cancun, and everybody had to, you know, use the toilet, and it wasn't a pleasant plane ride. So bodily functions seem to be a part of the nightmare scenarios on these trips. All right, here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
I went to England in 1981 on kind of a genealogy see the BBC.
Yeah.
In London. Okay, the air traffic controller strike was looming. I didn't know it when I left, but I really had to cut my trip short.
Because of the
news was,
the air traffic the air traffic controller strike. Oh yeah, of course
I
remember.
Yeah. Okay, well there's a lady from this hometown of Clinton, and she was over there, and she actually got caught in it. They put her up in a hotel outside of Heathrow, and she had to wait a week before she could get back.
Yeah, no, that was a nightmare. I absolutely remember that. It was during the Reagan administration that when that happened.
Yeah, I should have waited to go with Roy Leonard on a
That's the way to go. That's what you got to do. If you were going to go to London, you go with Roy. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
All right, John, thanks for the call. The air traffic controllers, that was a real treat. You know, whenever somebody like that strikes, then, like, they bring in people who cross the picket line, and you're like, that's not, I would like to have the regular air traffic controllers, not just some dude who's like, what's this blip on the screen? How do you read this radar? That's not what I want. I want, like, the experts. All right, here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. Mine's not really a vacation nightmare. Mine's a travel nightmare. Mm-hmm. I'm like you, and I hate to fly, but the only time I ever flew was when I was in the Army, like from the East Coast back to Chicago.
Yeah.
And then they sent us to Egypt, and we're flying back. We had a 747, which was nice compared to the cargo planes we flew there in. And we landed in Germany to refuel and restock the plane with food and, you know, drink. Well, as we're sitting there, after they refueled it, we're sitting there watching the plane get restocked, and a Pepsi truck and a Coke truck came from opposite sides and crashed underneath the plane and ripped a hole in the belly.
Oh, no.
And they said it'd be a couple days before it could be repaired. So on the other side of the airfield, the airport was an Air Force base. Well, they sent two old Air Force guys over there, and they patched it with 1,000-mile-an-hour duct tape and epoxy. You know, just taped up the belly and they said, it'll be fine.
Oh, man.
We fixed fighter jets in Vietnam with beer cans and pop rivets.
Oh, no.
So you'll be fine.
No way.
You know?
No yeah. way.
And, yep. And so they did. We took off with it. And on top of everything else, it being a military charter, it was a dry flight. All you could get was soft drinks and water or coffee.
Yeah.
And no smoking. So here's a 747. That's patched up with duct tape.
Oh, God.
And when we landed at O'Hare, everybody jumped out of the plane and went underneath the plane to see what it looked like. And actually, it held up pretty good. Just the first layer of duct tape was flapping when we landed.
Wow. That's still terrifying. No way. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, we're just cattle in the Army.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Oh,
get
man.
On the plane and
that's
go.
Crazy. All right, Rich. Thanks for the call.
All right. Yep.
Take
Have
care.
A good evening.
No way. No way. It'll be fine. Just put some duct tape on it. No. No. Whew. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for your vacation horror stories, your travel nightmares. 312-981-7200. And Wildcard Wednesday continues. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200.
She beat me. me at pool, and then she kissed me like there was nobody else in the room. As last orders were called was when she stood on the stool after dancing to Kaylee, singing to trad tunes. I never heard Carrick Ferguson a song so sweet, a cappella in the bar using her feet for a beat. Oh, I could have that voice playing.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Ed Sheeran and Galway Girl. Doug in Kansas City recommends you check out the video because it features Saoirse Ronan. And I have seen the video, and there's actually a pretty funny story attached to it. By the way, the Galway Girl, best version of Galway Girl is Steve Earle. I don't even want to play around. Which explains why, you know, when we went to Ireland, my favorite place that we went to was Galway. It was just, I don't know what it was. It was, I mean, the entire place is magical. All of Ireland is amazing. It's the best trip I've ever gone on. But Galway, for some reason, stood out. But Saoirse Ronan is in the video, and there's something that has to do, Dan, maybe you can find this. There's something that has to do with the tattoo that I believe she has Ed Sheeran. She wrote on his arm, and I think she misspelled Galway.
Right.
That's the story. And then, but he got the actual tattoo.
Right.
Like, he actually got the tattoo. So Saoirse wrote Galway on his Galway Girl on his arm and misspelled Galway on purpose. And then he got the tattoo, but he ended up getting it. Now it's on his arm.
Right.
Is that the story?
Yeah. In the video, at one point, he goes to get a tattoo. He's actually getting the tattoo in the video.
Oh, he is. Okay.
And then she, as a joke, grabbed the marker, wrote Galloway Girl,
right.
And then he liked it so much, he eventually got a real tattoo that said Galloway. So.
Right. Now, there you go. Ah, that's Saoirse. Saoirse Ronan. She's just so adorable. I don't know if there's a more adorable person on the planet right now than her. Let's see. Here's Steve in Portage on WGN. Hiya, Steve.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Yeah, the text you had earlier, last segment from Disneyland, reminded me of the one time my wife and son and I, we went to Disneyland. Now, we're Disney Vacation Club members, and we're Florida people, and my wife has actually got a job 5 months ago at Disney in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But our one trip that we say, hey, we want to go to the originals, California, right? Disneyland. Well, my wife's had cancer twice, recovered both times, and a lot of the medication she's on, it kind of, she has to take blood pressure medication because there's kind of a side effect thing, and she forgot to take it on one of the days we're in Disneyland, and the walking around, her blood pressure rose really high. It's like her heart rate was like 200 plus. And so she went to we took her to the first aid. And only in California, she got accused of being on meth, the symptoms of being on meth. And so we were in that first aid place for like 2 hours trying to convince them and having a police security come and convince them that, no, my wife has had medication. We don't take meth.
Wow. Okay. So
only in California.
Yeah.
Is what we attribute it to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's, they're not, I mean, did she show them the medication that she had? Like, if she was on.
Well, she left the blood pressure medication at the
hotel.
The hotel room.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, she tried to show them that stuff, and it gave them her doctor's phone number. A pretty well-known doctor back here in the area. So it got taken care of, and we actually got a lot of free stuff from
Disney.
They do that when something happens. I mean, I had the Disney Christmas party at Magic Kingdom in Florida, and it was like poured that day, and they refunded our money. So for something little like that,
right,
that they've done that. So of
right.
course they did that.
They, yeah. So they had, so. They had to reimburse you and give you something when they accused you of being meth heads. That's something that, that I think they need to apologize for. All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Here's a text. 312 area code. Literally 15 minutes before my boyfriend and I were meeting four other couples for a week long stay at a beach house at the Outer Banks of North Carolina. He started acting like a total jerk and picked a fight. We were sharing a room at the house, but didn't speak for 3 days. It was miserable. I would have flown home, except that I had no transportation to get off the island. We ended up working it out, but it was the worst vacation ever. You have to have personal relationships on good footing in order to have a good vacation. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And now to piggyback on that, here's another story from the internet. My ex-boyfriend and I had booked a trip to Hawaii about 4 months in advance. 4 months in advance, we broke up 2 months before the vacation. Since two of our good friends were going as well, we tried to be amicable and just go and try to have fun, even though things were difficult between us. Of course, we got there, the hotel messed up and booked us in the same room with one bed rather than singles. They didn't have any more rooms with singles, so I stuck with my super emotional ex. I was stuck with my super emotional ex every night. We were bickering about things that will never go right between us. Needless to say, it ruined the trip for our friends. Yeah. Cindy says, we were vacationing in northern Michigan. I decided to lay in the sun right next to our cabin. I put my blanket on what I didn't know was a huge patch of poison ivy, and then I was itchy for the rest of the trip. That's terrible. That's how you ruin a trip right there. Man. All right. How about this one, Esmeralda? One 4th of July weekend, we got stuck in a standstill traffic jam, and my youngest brother, who was 6 at the time, kept complaining that he had to pee. We couldn't pull over, so my dad gave him a Gatorade bottle to pee into. My brother started peeing in the bottle just as traffic started moving a little bit. The sudden movement of the car jolted my brother from where he was standing. It was a minivan, and he dropped the bottle but didn't stop peeing. He literally peed all over the side of my dad's head and all over the steering wheel.
Oh, no.
People are having some bodily function issues with vacationing. That's the theme that I'm seeing here. That's pretty funny, though. Kid peeing all over his dad. Oh, man. All right, here's Mitch on WGN. Hey, Mitch.
How's it going, Nick?
All right.
So this would have been probably 1977, I'm guessing, right out of high school, 76. Friend of mine says, hey, I got a great deal for us. My dad wants us to take my brother, the old car that's been in the driveway. He's going to pay for the gas, and they're going to buy us, you know, a couple of airplane tickets back from Southern California. Do you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, man. Sounds great. Well, neither one of us realized, him maybe more, he maybe knew more than I did, how long this car had been sitting. It was an old Rambler SST with the fake wood sides.
Sure.
I think we got maybe 150 miles out of this area. By the way, it was winter, and we were trying to stay south. We drove storms. I was scared to death. We get in an area where we wisely decide that the only solution is to siphon the old terrible gas out of the car and put in new gas. And me being an idiot, I pretend that I know how to siphon gas.
Oh, man.
I wind up, and I did pretty well for a bit, and at one point I did something wrong, sick when I shouldn't say, and I swallowed, I don't know, a half ounce of gasoline. Here's what I learned about gasoline. I thought if I drank milk a little bit, it would help. I just burped gas constantly, and I'm trying to make it end. I don't know, maybe a half a day later I get desperate and I decide I'm going to burn away the smell and taste of gasoline with a Coca-Cola. Well, the Coca-Cola went down, and I had the worst belching. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, when this whole story was over, I could taste gasoline in my system for nearly a month every
wow.
time I belched.
Wow.
Then we're in Southern California, and my aunt hears about it. My aunt from Fresno says, Mitchell, I haven't seen you in years. Let me fly you up here to see me and your uncle. Okay. Well, during that flight, I apparently didn't chew gum right or swallow right, and my head loads up from the pressure. And it was so bad that on the flight from when we got back to Southern California and then to Chicago, it lasted nearly a month to the point that I went to some doctor in Hammond, Indiana, who literally wound up putting a clear hose on these air valves from the wall, put the hose up my nose, held the other side closed, and told me to make a ka-ka-ka sound while he blew the air out of my head. I thought my feet were going to fly right off my body.
Wow.
And did it.
That's crazy.
You know what? It worked. But yes, I will never, ever, ever, ever forget that trip.
Right. Gotcha. And
I've tried.
Yeah. All right, Mitch. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Take care. And he will never siphon gas again. That's for sure.
Father had to ship bitter blues. Loving you has made me bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, you burnt your finger that evening.
Well,
while my back was turned.
Wild Card Wednesday continues. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Kathy requested Guy Marks. Loving you has made me bananas. Only on Wild Card Wednesday, let me tell you. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200. We're talking about vacation horror stories, and if you would like to join us and you have one, talk or text us at 312-981-7200. All right. How about this one, Esmeralda? My husband and I went to Austria for our anniversary, which also coincides with the Christmas weekend. Our hotel was nowhere near full capacity, so most of the staff knew who we were. After a late dinner, my husband ended up clogging the toilet, which overflowed and ran onto the carpet. We called the concierge, and they sent someone up to give us the key to the new room while we hid around the corner out of embarrassment. We grabbed the key, found our suite, and made ourselves scarce for the rest of the trip. I couldn't even bring myself to check out with that concierge because I knew for certain that he knew exactly who destroyed their room with an overflowing poo-filled toilet.
Ugh. That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Overflowing toilet.
Is it?
In a foreign place, be it
anywhere, like you're at a friend's house that is a pretty irrational fear, but legitimate nonetheless, you know. Hey, by the way, in 5 minutes Skip Skipley will arrive. We've heard Dan, he's on his way.
He is circling, approaching his landing.
Okay. How about this one? This also involves milk. I don't know what's going on here. People must know my love of milk. My dad was trying to carry groceries to our motel room in one go, but when he got to the door, he realized that the room key was in his pocket. While shuffling the groceries around, trying to reach the key, both gallons of milk slipped out of his hands and exploded everywhere. This was a motel-type place where the doors led outside rather than inside a hallway, so we happened to be on the fourth floor. Luckily, there was a storm drain right there, and all the milk drained out to the parking lot beneath. My dad looked over the railing just in time to see that both gallons of milk blanketed a minivan parked right below the storm drain, and then the windshield wipers turned on, and there were people inside the car. Sitting inside the car, and all of a sudden, milk explodes all over your car.
Did I say 2 gallons?
2 gallons.
How many people's he got in that motel room?
I happen to be with him.
Jeez.
I was surprised you could make it through that story without tearing up.
I know. That's terrible. 2 gallons of milk wasted? That's terrible. That's just it's horrible. I was in Georgia with my family visiting my sister, and I'm legally blind, and I have contacts, but at the time my insurance would only cover glasses or contacts. I had chosen contacts. I was a little negligent and forgot my contact case and solution. For the night, I decided to put my contacts and water in cups on the bedside table. My mom woke up, threw them down the sink because she thought they were cups of water. The rest of my vacation, all I saw were vague shapes. Oh, man. Let's see. I was bitten by a spider my first day in Borneo. The paralysis started in my hand where I was bitten, and it just traveled up, and it got really scary and started affecting my breathing. Yeah, you know, just don't go to Borneo. That's how you avoid getting bitten by a spider. Jeez. Let's see, here's another one. When I was 11 or 12, I was invited to spend 2 weeks in Florida at my best friend's family in their condo. Now, I don't want to give up too much information, but Michelle's dad has a very similar, has a name very similar to a convict who was wanted at the time for our flight. Seriously, his name is one letter off. Being 11 or 12, my bags, tickets, etc. were all in his name. We were stopped at every single airport and searched, even on our layover. People kept looking at that name on the reservation, and this look of panic came over their eyes. All right. Was it episode of Seinfeld where Elaine is dating Al, dating the guy? He had the same name as a serial killer who was on the loose, and they made an announcement to have him come to the gate at a Giants game. Yeah, I remember that. How about this? Well, one time we ran out of diapers 3 hours into a 7-hour flight, and we had a toddler who developed explosive diarrhea. That's nice. What's with all the poo stories? let's see. Every year, all 30 members of our family rent a big house on the beach, in the mountains, whatever the theme is for that year, and we stay for about 5 days. 2 days into, my 2-year-old daughter vomits. Kids randomly puking is expected, and everyone assumed that it was from the excitement and whatnot. But then, one by one, 26 people ended up with the most intense virus, stomach virus I've ever seen, and all 3 bathrooms were ruined. Okay. I see a theme here. I've never been on a vacation where it was ruined by bodily functions, but that seems to be the common thread here.
Most like, what is wrong with these people? Are they just puking on the walls? Like, aim. Go to the tub. Yeesh.
Yeah. Put the shower on and go to town. Wow. All right. Well, there are some vacation nightmare stories.